Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our show, our Blackbird show this evening, brought to you by Forbidden Technologies. So we are going to do a fairly quick run through of our deck. We want to make this evening about you, for you to ask questions about us. We'll also do a short demo, and we'll take it from there. So I'm talking to you tonight as CEO of the business, but I'm also talking to you as a significant shareholder in the business, as is Stephen. I'm very happy to invest to quite a large degree in Forbidden, and you'll probably find out why. Hopefully, find out why as we go through the story. So we're in the tech space. We're a tech company, and we're in video technology. We're a leading player in video technology. And as you might know, video is exploding. You probably hear every single day about how many people are on YouTube, how many people are watching video on Facebook. You know, by 2021, 1 million minutes of video content per second will cross the internet. But probably the most exciting stat on this slide is that 85% of people still want more. Want more people to create video and want more brands to create video. It's a pretty exciting space to be in. Now, we're not just a video company, we're a cloud video company. And cloud spending is growing at an inordinate rate as well. Cloud spending this year is going to be in the region of $186 billion. And that's growing at a CAGR of about 17.5% a year. By 2021, it'll be over $300 billion. Now, how is that being spent? That is being spent by the very large tech companies, the Amazons, the Googles, the Microsofts, in big cloud infrastructure, because people are outsourcing their IT departments. They're outsourcing them to the cloud so they can be across the latest innovations. They can power up and power down when they need to, and they can get rid of all that cost that will be latently in the business. We're also across many other verticals. We have a solution to many other verticals, and they're all growing pretty quickly too. And one probably key one to point out is live sports is going to grow to a $64 billion industry by 2021. There's quite a few examples of live sports that we're doing, which we can talk to you about. Now, why is Blackbird important? What problems does it solve? It brings an inordinate amount of productivity to these businesses. It saves time, it saves costs, it adds security, it allows people to work collaboratively. But probably one of the most important things, it allows people to get content in front of consumers faster. It allows people to monetize content a lot quicker. In this business, you make time, you make money. You can make advertising money, subscription money, all the quicker. All companies these days are telling us that they want to make more content. The appetite for consumers is never ending. People can consume content in more places. They want to make it faster. They want to get content out from sports and from news extremely quick. And they want to make it for less. Who doesn't want to make it for less? Everyone wants to make things for less, but they need to maintain the quality. So it's one of those things. At this point in time, we have some people that are offering cloud workflows who say they can do this, they can offer this solution. What actually happens is that cloud workflows often result in a clunky experience. And this is because they're using a derivative of an MPEG. You might remember MPEG. MPEG was designed initially for CD-ROM playback. They use an 8.264. It's fantastic for playing back in one direction. You can play back Netflix, you can play back YouTube, you can play back the iPlayer, and it looks fantastic. But for the moment you try and interact with that, the moment you try and move that backwards and forwards, and that's what you need to do to make content, it becomes quite a clunky experience. It's not frame accurate and often buffer. So what is Blackbird? Why did my family and I invest in Blackbird? Because it's completely different. It's a codec that's been designed from the ground up to be manipulated in the cloud. It can operate at very low bandwidth, frame accurately, at 60 frames a second, on any piece of hardware. You can manipulate video. I'm not going to blind you with science. I'll leave that for Stephen a little bit later. But I'm going to tell you that the experience that you get, the experience that any user gets with Blackbird, it's the workstation in the cloud. It feels like all the content sitting there on your desktop, but it's sitting there hundreds of thousands of miles away sometimes. And it delivers on the productivity. It absolutely offers time savings, cost savings, collaboration, and security. But the point I made earlier about monetization is that if you make time, you make money. One of our marquee customers at the moment is MSG Networks. They're part of Madison Square Garden in New York. They record over 300 events on Blackbird every single year. And they are putting out highlights all the time from those events, whether it be ice hockey goals or basketball hoops or whatever it would be. They've reduced the time to market from a 46-minute process down to a 3-minute process. If you add up all that additional eyeballs that you're getting to that content over 300 events across the subscription base of the greater New York area, it's a lot of money that they're making from using Blackbird. Now, a lot of people say, well, why aren't you a bigger company? Why is it taking this long to grow? And I just want to talk about strategy, and particularly my strategy going forward. We've been historically a project-based company that was based, it says here London, but actually we really mean Soho. We were pretty much in every production house and post-production house in Soho. It's a great business. We've got some great names that we've been on and still continue to be on, the likes of Gogglebox or The Voice, etc. We've been on lots and lots of series. We're on almost 100 every year. But it's only a small business. They have very tight margins and they have very tight budgets. What happened about 18 months ago is we moved the business much more into an infrastructure business. By infrastructure, I mean recurring revenue. So this is where Blackbird is used every single day, very much like the Madison Square Garden example. And basically, it's a multi-year contract. So we're doing end user examples at the moment with the likes of Delta Tray, where we do all the NFL work for them, the American football work for them. Or with Town News, which is an OEM. So we're part of a technology stack in the US for new channels across Town News' base. And Town News have over 1,700 customers. We're currently only in 17. So it's a long way to penetrate. We've also focused very much more on the US. The US obviously is a bigger market, but it's also a much more nuanced market. They are trendsetters. And they are multi-layered. You have everyone in the US from the big West Coast giants, the FANGs, to the big traditional networks, the NBCs and the Viacoms, to the regional players. We've just gone into 17 different Meredith channels, new channels across the US. There's 1,000 or so local news networks across the US and sports networks. And of course, there's the tens of thousands of digital publishers that are going straight to the internet. So Blackbird has a solution for all those players in the market. So it's very exciting for us. What it does, though, is it produces a very good stepping off point to go to our next part of the strategy, which is public cloud. I remember my first slide, we talked about the $186 billion spent in cloud. Well, this is mainly in public cloud. This is the AWSs, the Google Clouds, the Alibaba. But in particular, in our instances, it's the Microsoft Azure. Microsoft Azure is the second largest cloud company. We have a very solid workflow with them for the NFL, and we've just got a second customer from Microsoft Azure. We're a significant partner with Azure, and we've had a real spike in interest in new customers that would like to use Azure and Blackbird together as a solution. Now, the bit of future gazing, going beyond public cloud, we really want to move from just being in content creation to also being in content distribution. This is a much bigger market. We're going to show you a little bit of technology towards the end of this presentation that is our player. And our player can take the number of people interfacing with Blackbird from the thousands or tens of thousands in the first three areas to the millions or the billions as we use public cloud to distribute content. But I'll leave that to Stephen to show you that at the end. So what do the end users say about our software? Well, Brad Ward, who's the CEO of townnews.com, as I mentioned before, with the 1,700 customers, he says Blackbird gives our customers powerful cloud-based video editing capabilities that they can't get anywhere else. Eric Walsh from MSG Networks, part of Madison Square Garden, says Blackbird is the most responsive, frame-accurate, high-quality video codec that we've ever seen. Sean Sambar runs a company called Atlas Digital. They're our latest OEM. They just came on board a couple of months ago. They're a leasing company in Hollywood. They have over 1,100 edit suites that they lease out to produce independent producers all the way up to Disney. And they have said, Sean's come aboard as an OEM and said, incorporating Blackbird and its unique codec was seamless. And it has immediately increased our security and efficiencies. Being able to work on a 2 megabit bandwidth, a very small coffee shop type bandwidth, is any browser is a game changer. So I just like to very quickly, this is all on our website, and it's slightly old news now because it goes up to the 30th of June. But at that point, we were very happy to report that all our indicators are positive. And probably the most important point here is the last one. The OEM deal signed with Tao News, which signed in the first half, has not yet shown in these numbers. It will, of course, be shown as we build that account. But it just got rolled out in October. Our operating costs are slightly up. We have rebranded to Blackbird, which has been very well received. It's a much more dynamic brand to take to market. We've also invested in new product launches and strengthened our team in North America. We also, in the first half, of course, raised 5.4 million net, which meant our cash position now is 6.2 million at the end of the period. And that was very strongly supported by institutions and, as I mentioned, by myself and the family. So at the point of the half year, we said everything was going very well. We'd got new contracts. We'd actually solidified our base by renewing contracts and got our first customer in Japan. The second half has been also very exciting. We've taken one pilot that we had with a North American broadcaster. I often wish I could name these broadcasters, but this is a sensitive deal for them. They don't want their competition to know what they've done, so they don't want us to name it. But we've taken that pilot to a deal in North America. We've opened a relationship with Atlas Digital, brought them on board as another OEM, as I mentioned, Hollywood. Sean Sambar also said, actually, that he saw our product back in 2013 when it was called Foreseen. And he said, you know, at that point, I could see that it was not really ready for market. He said, I think now you're going to penetrate very deeply into this West Coast, this Los Angeles market. We've closed a few other deals. Colgate, yes, the toothpaste. They've come on board. They're not a natural video company, but we provide an enterprise solution for their video. Von Johnson is a localization company. They produce subtitles and dubbing for Netflix. So a number of shows that we've done with them are now on Netflix. And we have a live POC with a major US network. It's probably near the end of the POC, and it's been successful. We were recently partnered with Microsoft at IBC. IBC is Europe's largest broadcasting event. It's in Amsterdam every year. And we were on Microsoft's stand. Microsoft were enamored by what we were doing, so we expect that partnership to go far. We've also strengthened teams in North America and Europe, and we're having conversations with all those other big cloud providers. Again, the 186 billion spenders. Stephen, do you want to talk about the software slightly? So Stephen's advanced the software a great deal in the last year, and he's going to talk about...
So when Ian came on, which is not that long ago, his first move was to bring out this new brand, Blackbird, which simplifies our product range and increases our addressable markets. So I've been running the technology and I've moved the technology to support that brand. So the first thing is we have a new codec. We have our own video codecs that are much more flexible than MPEG, and they're designed for editing or a whole range of things you'll see a bit later. So we've upgraded that. The typical customer gets 3 or 4 times the resolution that they got on the previous version. We also have a much simpler way of getting video into the cloud, and that's a piece of software that runs on a Mac. We've now moved up to the creatives in the media world, and they all have Macs, so that simplifies getting video in. For when they're editing, you can now run it entirely in JavaScript in a browser on your PC or your Mac, and that means you don't need any installation or configuration. So all of you with computers have our software. You may not realize it, you just come to our website and you could use it. That's again, increase the addressable market enormously, and it's one of the key points behind the OEMs being able to resell the product, that all their clients already have access to our software through the browsers. And then the last thing, which I'll show you in a minute, is the Blackbird Player. So we've talked about getting material in with macOS Edge, creating the content on the editors, and now distribution. So distribution is where the cloud companies make most of their money with video, because they just have such a large number of viewers. And we have a prototype player, which I'll show you, and it has 21 features that you won't find on any other player you've seen on the web. Right, so I won't go through all the 21 reasons why people will use our player, but this will just give you an example of it. The first reason is you get access to the world's most advanced cloud video tools. And this is a picture of our editor. This is the one that runs in the browser. And it's basically a professional editor, and it runs in a browser. And it's used every day around the world, mostly for broadcast posts, long-form post-production, and for live sports events, for highlights. If I go forward, there are a few things you think, well, we've had players for years. So you would expect to have really good functionality, like when there's your video playing, you might miss something. Let's just play it backwards. Play it forwards, play it backwards. So if you miss something or you just want to see something again, I mean, there was a recent press conference, I think, with Trump, and they spent ages trying to look at what actually happened. But only a few people had access to the professional editing systems that allowed you to look. But if they'd used our player, then every single person in the world watching that would have frame accurate access to the video and would be able to look at it and see exactly what happened. Every single person. This, by the way, runs in a browser. You can see the website at the top. Just runs in a standard browser, runs on PCs, Macs, Linux, if you want, mobile phones, iOS and Android. So it's completely accessible. Billions of people can watch this video. Other things you might expect, play double speed. This is quite a long video. I'll just play double speed, get past the boring bits, get to the questions and answer a bit quicker. And this starts to show this line underneath has actually got a name. It's a Blackbird waveform. And what this allows you to do, you can see your whole content and you can see what's going on. You can see the black bits and the video. You can see as you look. Oh, yes, it's patented. Yes, we have quite a few patents. I haven't gone through them all. This is patented. The codec is patent. All the video is running our own technology. But you see when I zoom in now, I can see the individual frames. So I can actually zoom right in. And it's frame accurate navigation. If you want to get around a bit faster, you can do that as well. Here's the jog. I'll just show you the jog. Why would you want frame accurate? You can see here, I'm taking this shot. You see my daughter on the right there. You might want just the shot where she looks up, okay? Not the bit where she then looks at her sister to see what's going on. So you just end there. It's for frame accurate access. It's like doing a word processor with text where it's only accurate to the nearest word. I mean, you actually want to edit the letters inside the words. So this is what we provide with our technology. Completely standard, running in a browser, runs on any computer, running in JavaScript. So it's great getting through, but actually sometimes you want to get through a bit quicker and the shuttle gives you that ability. And you notice that when I'm shuttling, I get quite a few frames. Those of you who've used YouTube, you get like 3 frames a second. Here you get 60 frames a second when you shuttle, because why wouldn't you want that? And you may have just taken it for granted, but again on YouTube, when you shuttle, you get a little tiny picture. You've got a blank line underneath, and you get a little tiny icon that moves around above the picture when you shuttle. But on here, when you shuttle, you get the full screen. Why wouldn't you want the whole picture? And it would be full screen, but you wouldn't be able to see the bottom. So I made it into a window, but why wouldn't you want that? So now we can talk about sharing. So we're back to this shot. Now I want to share some of this. And of course, what I want is, as I've said before, I want to end in exactly the right shot. Not that one. Just after she turns. And now what I can do is I can click on the share button. And what I'm going to do is give this video a name, family holiday. Oops. Family holiday. And for the sake of this demo, you can copy it, you can share it on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube. But what I've done is I've created a new web page. And this is just a bit. I don't know if anyone's ever said to you, there's a really brilliant video of, you know, Elon Musk. 12 minutes in, he says something shattering. And you go and look at the video, and was it 12 or did he say 13 or 11? Which bit was it? You're not quite sure. But here, if there's a really good bit, you just do it. You just copy that bit. And it's frame accurate. And of course, because it's a link, you can share it on social media and everywhere else. Little bit about render-free sharing. There are two things you need to know about render-free sharing. When I share a clip, or anyone using this player shares a clip, which could be like a million consumers, it doesn't have to render the video. It just sends you the edit with the link saying which bits of video to play back, because the player actually renders everything as it plays back. And that means there's no render. So if I share a 20-second clip, it takes no time to share it. No processor time, no cost. But if I had a 90-minute football match, again, it takes no time to share. So if you're talking about a live event coming in and you need to share it on social media, you don't have to wait 90 minutes for some render on Facebook. By the time the event's finished, it's all old news. This is really, really fast. And we give that ability to every viewer of the video on any device. So the other thing, I mean, there are loads of features. I can't go through them all. But one really important one is for the rights holders. Okay, the rights holders keep tight control of the content, because the content never leaves the original place. The video plays it back from the original place. So you haven't given your video to the social media company where they can reshare it and reshare it, and you've lost control of it. You still control the video, And from the editor, you can delete the video anytime. Even if it's got a million reshares through Facebook and Twitter and, you know, WhatsApp, 20 generations deep, you can, in an instant, delete all those copies. So if there's a city presentation and someone says something they shouldn't have done, you can delete all copies instantly and then republish a new version. So that is a very powerful thing for rights holders. When you copy, I haven't said this, when you copy, it doesn't just copy the video, it copies the whole experience. So the video I showed you, the copy, you also had the frame accurate player. So everyone I shared it with would have the frame accurate player, the navigation, backwards and forwards, but also the ability to reshare. But also the whole experience, including any advertising and any branding on the product. So that means that when you send your video on social media, when you copy the video to social media, it's not like the Ice Bucket Challenge people who ended up giving giving Facebook a million videos that Facebook owns and that the charity doesn't get the money for that. What happens here is the video you copy includes all the ads, all the experience that you had on the original video, and what your people who are doing the copying, they're distributing your video for you. It's a really positive thing for you as a rights holder. They're distributing the video, you still have control. If you have rights for Formula One for a week, in a week you can delete it all. You don't have to worry about piracy because actually they're distributing it and you still have control. So that basically summarizes. I'll just finish with one thing. You can see here an example of the edit where if I just play it there, there's a dissolve and I've added the color to make the gold more golden because we have a golden future ahead of us. Right, thank you very much.
So just in summary, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like I think you've just seen why, but why have I invested? Why have I persuaded my family to invest and why are we so happy about the investment? Well, it is unique technology, but we've heard that before, unique technology, but can you commercialize it? Well, we really know actually this is very timely. Cloud is happening now. It's always been a dead cert, but it's a dead cert when? It's happening now. The Blackbird brand has been very well received by our customers. We'll continue to strengthen our team. Our strategy around OEM, North America, public cloud, it's really starting to bear fruit. And that's the content creation piece. And we're going into the distribution piece very soon. We've already shown our player to a number of rights holders and they're very excited about it. The management focus is, well, you know, we're with the shareholders. We are the shareholders. So we're very much focused and aligned on that. So thank you very much. We're very happy to take some questions now. Hope we left enough time for a few questions.
Spot on, thank you.
Can I just understand the codec question? The cameras that are taking pictures are not taking it in your codec. So does there have to be some translation to get into the codec for editing? And where is that coming from? Absolutely. Or yes. Am I asking a dumb question?
That's what our Edge server does. So the new macOS version converts it on a Mac. So you have to convert it once. And then it's internet ready.
Right. So the people at home who are doing stuff on their YouTube, they have to have Mac. They're going to have the Mac, so they'll have the Mac OS Edge. Which already converts it, right?
So if they're creating content, then they have access to our editing software, and that has a button that you can upload videos on. But if you're a high-volume user with 2,000 hours a week, then you'll buy a Linux rack-mounted system.
If you're taking live content, the transcode will work on the fly, so you would be transcoding directly into the cloud.
Yeah, so all our sports workflows are live. Essentially, they have live feeds coming in. We can have like 60 cameras if you want live feeds coming in. You can edit it live from anywhere in the world and publish it. Of course, if you're just viewing it in the Blackbird player, you don't need any hardware. It just runs in your browser.
Could you talk about the commercial side, just how you actually generate the revenues from your clients, what the sort of split of your revenues are, or the sources of revenue?
So the sources of revenue, we as I said before, we've mainly come from the broadcast post area, so that's kind of where the bulk of the business is right now. But the focus is very much on infrastructure. And OEM, and the next part will be public cloud. We're a SaaS model, so we charge for creating the Blackbird in the first place, the Blackbird codec, through the transcode engine, the Edge engine, and then we charge on a per seat basis. So most of our contracts now are either annual or multi-year contracts going forward.
And do you perceive a large number of relatively small value contracts, or do you think it would be the other way around, a small number of large contracts?
I think it will be a large number of large contracts.
Very good.
A large number of large contracts. Stephen, I met you N years ago in your Wimbledon offices, and I was so impressed by what you put across. I seem to remember that time, perhaps you can still recall it, seeing live Greyhound matches.
We had live. You had live video, yes.
Video, yeah. And you were going to have Greyhounds exclusively right across with all the betting and exclusivity, and it was going to be the biggest thing since sliced bread. You also had fantastic idea of video of holiday hotels, so that people. This was a long time ago when
we had a partnership with a holiday video company.
And you were going to have videos of all hotels across the world, and Thomas Cook and everyone else was going to buy them from you. And I bought the shares, and I've loved you all that time, but honestly, it hasn't happened. And please, how are you going to ensure that this company becomes a credible dominator of some sector of this massive video audience?
I know
the director to Stephen, but do you mind if I just take the first half of that? I think yes, Stephen is a visionary, absolutely right, and he can visualize. I mean, I'm investing in the business because of the technology, but also because I'm working with a partner who's a complete visionary. However, what are we doing to actually execute? I mean, that's the key part of your question, and we want to get to the billions of users. We've talked about that. We want to get to the billions of users. There has to be a way to get to those billions of users. It can't be us going out and being a consumer business. That's going to take too much time and too much money. So our way to market is to make ourselves credible with those companies that are reaching those billions. And Microsoft Azure is a perfect example of that. It's the second largest cloud. It's making ground in AWS. And we have the opportunity to talk to Azure on a level playing field and work with them to kind of reach that goal. But Azure is just one example. We're also with all these other OEMs, talking to other OEMs that are reaching these customers. And as Brad said in that quote, we've got something that's absolutely unique. This is an American company that has 1,700 customers who's saying Blackbird has something that's completely unique. We've just got to get the word out there to make sure everyone takes it.
Hi, love the technology. Can you tell us a little bit more of your distribution sort of strategy, this idea of getting into the distribution game?
When you say, can I tell you more about it, as in, how are we going to do that? Who we see as the key customers? We see the key customers as being rights holders, entertainment customers. I mean, my previous role before now was at Turner. Turner has lots of nice brands for kids, and we would. With one eye shut, put our stuff on YouTube and build our brand on YouTube, not because there's any money in it, but because we wanted to build our brand. It was a brand building exercise. We could also find out how kids interacted with that content through YouTube. Now, that's not a very profitable thing for business to be in. If we can take a solution to these rights holders like Turner or like Formula One or the Premier League and say, this is a way for you to interact with your customers directly through an internet experience, but also keep tight control of your content and all the other wonderful things that Stephen showed on the video, then we believe we have a really, really enticing offering. And that's what we're doing now. We're taking this out now. This is a prototype you're seeing. It's not a product yet. But in a few months' time, this will be a product that can go out to market.
I've held your shares since about 2012. And I want to understand what has changed. I thought your kit was fantastic in 2012. And I think you've said this is just foreseen as was. It's got a new name. So what are you actually... you haven't got over £1 million revenue yet in about 10 years. What are you actually going to be able to do? You talk about going out to the commercial bodies. Well, weren't you doing that in 2012? If not, why not? What's the difference? I really don't follow. And how much more are you going to hit £1 million revenue this year, for example, if you're allowed to tell me? Because you haven't yet.
So what I'd say is in terms of, and I actually go back to that slide where I talked about the strategy. Yes, we have been slow to grow, and I would wish we had been faster. But there's probably one dead cert in this world is that cloud adoption is happening, but it's been slow. It's been slower than probably that we would have expected, but it is happening now. The tipping point of cloud adoption is coming rapidly towards us. There's now media companies like Discovery who are starting to put their entire workflows into the cloud. They've been using the cloud for a long time for storage, but workflows have not been in the cloud yet. So now these big cloud companies are saying, well, we've managed to store a lot of video, but people are having to download it, they're having to re-render it, and then having to work with it. So the cloud companies are now saying, how are we going to put applications in the cloud for our customers to work with? So it's cloud adoption is the key thing I would point to there.
But cloud adoption has been going for quite a while, and it's not this year or last year, it's a few years now, and you still haven't generated any revenue.
It hasn't been going in the broadcast space or the media space so much, the media creation space.
I remember you saying you were trying to get the BBC to take your product 5 years ago.
The BBC hasn't got a cloud solution as such. And with due respect, I've only been here a year, so I do understand that there's been some waiting around for it. But it is happening. I mean, this is where we're getting to now. We've got a Microsoft Azure customer that's just joined us this week. So we've got a real spike in interest from them. This is our route to market, and I think this is a very exciting time for the cloud, which means that the convergence between video and cloud is where we are. It's a very exciting time.
Hi. I love the sound of lots of big, large amounts of large deals. What's a large deal?
So we have historically worked in the post-production world, as I've said, and that's probably been deals that are probably in the four figures. We now move very much into the five-figure deals. I'd say the large deals for us are we've just closed one significant six-figure deal just before the interim, which was with Town News. Six-figure deals for us are significant. Seven-figure deals are large deals. That's what I would say. Seven-figure deals are large deals.
You said this was, we've been looking at a prototype. When does it become the product?
It doesn't take a lot of work on the team's part to make this into a product. We've let you into to show us the workroom and what we're doing with it. But it's not going to be very long before this is a product. You can see that it's already very slick. It has already that functionality. We don't want to add functionality to it because this is going to be a consumer product. It's going to go from our businesses that we're talking to consumers. That's enough functionality for a consumer to take. So it's close.
Ian, Stephen, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.